I thank you, dear Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. You can be seated. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father God. Matthew 16:18. Hallelujah. This verse has been drilled in our heads for many years. Sometimes, service after service after service. We lived in Humble, Texas, at King's Church, our pastor. When he says Matthew 16, we knew we were going to 18. And we wondered, why is he continue to teach the same one? We know what he's going to teach Sunday. We know what he's going to teach Wednesday. We know what he's going to tell us in our staff meetings. And then the next Sunday, we already know what he's going to teach. Matthew 16:18. And you know what? He was right. He wanted us to learn it so passionately that we would not forget it. And let's read it. Let's start with verse 15. And he said to them, Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," or the anointed one of God. Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, that you are Peter." Some translation says Cephas, meaning a stone. "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades," or the gates of hell, "shall not prevail against it." He goes on to say, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, you shall bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven." So he's saying that, Peter is a rock. That means he was solid. We asked the question Sunday, how solid are you? Peter, if you read about him, it seemed like he was wishy-washy. Even ran when Jesus was arrested, getting ready to be crucified. And he denied Jesus three times. He went to hide. All the disciples were in hiding for fear of being arrested by the Romans. And Peter was the one that said, "Oh, don't wash my feet. Oh, no, you know, you're the master. You can't wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me in the kingdom." And he says, "Wash my hands, wash my feet, wash everything." So he was outspoken, but he was solid. His house was built on the solid rock. And he says, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Now, if you look at, we know the word rock, meaning so much. It's like a dual meaning here in the spirit. Peter being the rock. When he preached, all of a sudden, lots of souls were saved, and the first church was born after the second chapter of Acts, the infilling of the Spirit. And so, the rock that God wants us to build on, that firm bedrock foundation, is Jesus Christ himself. He says, "On this rock I will build my church." You are his church. We all together are the ecclesia, the church. So he builds us upon him. Upon him. No other wishy-washy gospel. No other thing that says you're God within yourself and philosophies and all that stuff. Christ, the solid rock. And he says, "And the gates of Hades," the gates of hell, "the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Just like the The house that was built on the rock. It says a tornado came and winds came and the waves came and smashed against its side. Those are the devilish things that come against the body of Christ. It comes against your house. And in that, the devil tries to knock your house down, your spiritual house down. But he can't, because we lean on Jesus. We hold on to Jesus. We cling to Jesus. And that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Prevailing, there's a fighting there. But we know who wins. Red words win. Hallelujah. The words of Jesus Christ wins every time. Every time. And so, when there's a tornado, destructive floods, all kinds of cyclones, things that try to knock down and hurt people, that's not of God. A lot of people say that, well, I learned a lesson because, you know, God allowed this. Right here it says the gates of hell that tries to knock your house down, knock your spiritual house down, tries to bring confusion. Now he's trying to bring fear and complacency now that everybody has shelter in place. But we take one step ahead and we're like, no, I'm not going to stay home. I will go to church. If I have to social distance, if I have to wear a mask, I belong in the house of God. Remember, whatever the Lord tells you, you do it. That virus is gone. It is gone. But it's only there in the hearts of people with fear. Remember what Job said? He said, that thing that I greatly feared came upon me. So if you fear the coronavirus, you're open for it to come upon you. But no, you take a stand on the solid rock. And he says in verse 19, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. You have the keys. Amen. Those keys are yours. Those keys were bought with the blood of Christ. They're valuable keys. Keys to a vault. Isn't it a type of a key? Very special key. You can't open the vault of a bank without it. So the keys of the kingdom of heaven he gave to us. And he says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You have power. Hallelujah. You have the power. When your house is built on the solid rock, you have the power. Amen. That Jesus gave us. Hallelujah. And nothing can prevail against you. Words and situations. If you lost your job, well, God has a better job for you. You know, there's going to be a lot of change, like God says. There's a lot of shaking. And the Lord says, whatever can be shaken will be shaken. Let it shake loose some things. Have you ever thought about it that God doesn't want you to go back to life as usual? Think about changes of careers, changes of job, staying at home business. There's many, many, many businesses in this town where they have their offices at home. Executives, they do business at home. Thank God for the internet. You need to be in prayer about some things. Everybody that's hearing on the web, because it's all over. Let God shake some things and do a change of life in some things. Especially in employment. They're saying there's so much employment. I don't know where they're getting that from, because Oklahoma has a lot of employment. A lot. They keep hiring here and there and everywhere. It's so fruitful. Hallelujah. Everywhere you turn around, they're building houses and building buildings and rebuilding streets and building brand new bridges and rebuilding new parks. And to me, that's not a recession. That's progression. Hallelujah. And so he said that he is the solid rock. Let's look at, let's go to Revelation. I'm going to walk you to Revelation here. Let's go to Revelation 4. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Revelation 4. I want to give you a part of something that Jesus knows about. The kingdom of heaven, where the Father is. The power that's in heaven, and you have the keys up. It says in verse 1, after this I looked, and there was an open door in heaven. The first voice I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me. And I know what that sounds like. Saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit. And there was a throne set in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. This is John, the island of Patmos, having this vision, a heavenly vision of worship. So immediately he was in the spirit, and there set in heaven was the one sitting on the throne. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb, be blessed in glory and honor and power forever. Verse 3 says that he who sat there appeared like a jasper, a sardius stone. There was a rainbow around the throne, but it was like an emerald rainbow, which means green. Rainbow has different colors, the different facets of green, emerald. And 24 elders were around the throne, and I saw 24 elders sitting on the thrones, clothed in white garments. They had crowns of gold on their heads. Lightnings and thunders and voices proceeded from the throne. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So those seven spirits of God, I said, what are the seven spirits of God? And let's turn to Isaiah 11. The seven spirits of God. Glory to God, glory to God. How about the rock, the solid rock that we stand on? Part of those seven spirits of God. It's not just a saying, solid rock. It's something so real and so deep. Isaiah 11:1 says, and there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So the spirit of the Lord is one. The spirit of the Lord. The spirit of wisdom. A spirit of understanding. The spirit of counsel. The spirit of might. The spirit of knowledge. And the spirit of the fear of the Lord. The spirit of knowledge is knowing. You know some things in the spirit. That causes a fear and reverence of the Lord when you know some things. So he is telling us, let's keep reading verse 3. He shall delight in the fear of the Lord. Delight here means quick understanding. He shall delight in the fear of the Lord, a quick understanding. And he shall not judge by what his eyes see, nor reprove by what his ears hear. So we don't go by what our eyes see or what our ears hear. We're going by what the Spirit of God is showing us. All this is a solid rock on which we stand. The wisdom of God, it's solid. It's not wishy-washy. And there are some religions that have changed their Bible 8 times. I think it was in our Bible class one time. They changed their Bibles. Well, here's another Bible. Here's another Testament. Here's another pearl. Another, you know, they keep changing the Bible. Not Jesus, not God, not our Heavenly Father. See, the Spirit of the Lord is resting upon this Word of God. And the Spirit of the Lord rests upon us. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:16, I believe that is. Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. And I'll read it while you're looking. It says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Tell your neighbor, "The Spirit of God dwells in me." Hallelujah. Your cyber neighbors. The Spirit of God dwells in me, dwells in you. You are the temple of God. Upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. You are the church. You are the church. The Spirit of God dwells in you. So the Spirit of God dwells in you. Read all chapter 8 talks about life in the Spirit of Romans 8. The Spirit of God dwells in you, so that means that He is in you, so that you are part of Isaiah chapter 11 that says the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him. Spirit of the Lord, number one, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, that knowing, and the fear of the Lord, that quick understanding of the fear of the Lord. That's why we can't judge with our physical eyes what we see. Or we can't go by what we hear. We go by the Spirit of God that's in us. So in this very special time of pausing, and it's pause moment, shelter in place, the Spirit of God is resting upon you. So we steward this time as a very special time with God. And I feel like weeping all the time because I feel the presence of God. I feel what He's saying. I feel what He feels. It's such a yearning that He has for the revealing of the sons of God. The Spirit of wisdom, may it be upon you now more than ever. The Spirit of understanding things that you didn't understand before. You're beginning to make sense. Oh, this is why I have to do this, because this is going to happen. This is why I have to change this. Now understand what the Word of God says. This is all part of the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Spirit of counsel. Psychiatrists' offices, counselors' offices, are packed full with appointments because people don't know what to do. They don't know what to do because they're feeling this. They feel hurt. They can't get over this anger. They can't get over the past. They can't focus right. They're intimidated. Some are fearful. Some have phobias of all kinds of phobias. But the Spirit of counsel will tell you exactly what to do. The Spirit of might. See, it's in you. God is in you. The Spirit of might. That means a special power and anointing and even physical might. Wasn't it Elijah that girded himself up and ran faster when they said that his servant said, "Well, all I see is a cloud of rain." He says, "It's going to rain real hard. Hurry up." But there's only a cloud the size of a man's hand. So he did his faith by he girded up himself, because they have gowns, right? He folded them around them, and he took off running. And he beat a chariot, wasn't it? He beat the chariots. You ever seen a chariot and a horse? They're fast. Because he said hurry, so they were even faster. He outran them. That's a spirit of might, a supernatural might. Have you ever been so tired? I remember us being in Mexico City, a scene, we were talking about it recently. Me and Jennifer were talking about it. We had to move stones, and we cut our fingers at moving stones, and sometimes we drop them on our feet. Ow, you know. But we were clearing land by our bare hands, removing stones. And then we had church at night. We washed the little sweat we had off, tried to comb the dust, and you know, Teresa, all our kids have been to the mission field. And we had church at night. Tired, because our Pepe woke us up at 5 in the morning. It was dark on the mountain. Worked all day and had church until it's done. They don't go by time. Like, okay, it's time to dismiss. No, no, no. They go until the spirit is done. Okay, you can go home now. Supernatural might had to come on you when you worked hard all day. And all of a sudden, you're just dancing before the Lord and worshiping Him. And God gave you that spirit of might. Spirit of might helps you fight demons. Hallelujah. 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 The spirit of knowledge, knowing. Have you ever talked to someone and you just know that you know that whatever they're saying is not true? It's like, why do they keep on talking? Don't they know that I know that what they... I know what they're talking about is bogus. Spirit of knowing, knowledge, fear of the Lord is honoring Him. Honoring Him in everything. Honoring Him in the house of God. Honoring Him with a response. Honor Him by taking some time with Him. I'm just loving how I'm feeling the Spirit of God in our patio, seeing the flowers, and all of a sudden it's like I know He's there. And I honor Him. It's the fear of the Lord. So careful not to disturb the presence of God, because you can quench the Spirit just like that. I could throw the ball and have the dogs chase after it and just quench it. The fear of the Lord is what we need so much now, in society now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We have that in us. We have how was it that Revelations talk about? The seven spirits of God. The seven spirits. We have that. The seven spirits of God. Isn't that amazing? We can walk in this. It's our right. And imagine in heaven, it was like that heavenly vision. It's just incomprehensible that what's in heaven, we have it here. Because God is with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. Let's look at Let's go back to Isaiah 11. Let's look at verse 10 and 11 of same Isaiah 11. It says, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the peoples. We know that's Jesus. As a banner to the peoples. For Him shall the nations seek, and His rest shall be glorious. In that day the Lord shall set His hand again the second time to recover the remnant of His people. And then there it's talking about all the Jewish remnant, all the way and from the islands of the sea. So He is our banner. Just like you lift up a flag. I love it how our grandchildren are patriotic, especially Claire. American flag, ever since she was in preschool or before. American flag, I couldn't understand what she was saying. American flag, American flag, what's a American flag? I didn't know what she was saying. She was trying to say American flag every time we pass one. So we all salute. That's a banner of this country. In God we trust. God bless America. That's a banner. And Jesus stands as a banner to the peoples. For him shall the nations seek. They're seeking his banner. They're seeking that. Many people of other countries seek the American flag, the banner. They seek to come to America, where freedom reigns. Hallelujah. I like how it says here, and his rest shall be glorious. I told the Lord when I read this, Lord, rest in this house. Let it be glorious, your rest. Let it be glorious. So he's saying, in that day, the Lord shall set his hand a second time to recover the remnant. And I prayed, Lord, set your hand a second time to us here in America and all over the world. A second time. In my age, this is the first time I've experienced a pandemic, a world pandemic. We're all experiencing, even baby John, looking right at me, experiences a pandemic. Because he wants, not that he sent it, but the hand of the Lord is always protecting. Sometimes he removes the hand, let the devil, like he did to Job. Job trusted me, just don't touch his soul, right? That's what he said. So when God lifts his hand, things happen. But those that know our God, they're safe, whether his hand is lifted or not. And so this second time, he wants to recover the remnant of the American people that came to this country for freedom to worship the one and only true God. Not all religion, the one almighty God, El Shaddai. That's the banner. His rest shall be glorious. The awakening shall be glorious. And this second hand, this second time to recover the remnant, he is giving another opportunity. He says, there's shelter in place. Now I can talk to them. I can teach them some things. Otherwise, it would never happen. Not only in America, the world, the globe, globally. He wants to talk to everyone on this globe. Because he loves us so much. He loves us so much. And so there's a spiritual battle for the souls and minds of a nation. All the nations are going through this. A spiritual battle for their souls, for their minds, trying to get them to fear and trying to get them onto socialism. Socialism paves the way to communism. Communism is against trusting in God. So is socialism. Either you're going to trust in God or you're going to trust in socialism. And so God is trying to shake us up, saying, trust in me. I'm the one that loves you. Men will let you down. Politicians will let you down. Governors and mayors and council people, they're human, they'll let you down, but Christ, our solid rock, amen, in which we stand, will never let us down. Hallelujah. Never, ever, ever. Amen. That's why we raise the banner of Jesus Christ on high, no matter what. No matter what. So we got to get ready for this era coming in. It's a Holy Ghost era. It's a time where we have allowed God to shake up some things. If you think you got shaken up, we haven't seen anything yet. Things keep shaking up. Like, have you ever got something that you wanted to shake out and you look at it, oh, you know? That's what the Holy Ghost is doing. He keeps shaking. And so God is now getting ready to open the door, and society is getting ready to open the door a little bit here, a little bit there, from this shelter in place. So God is getting ready to open the door to release you from this reset. So we had better have learned some things. I know I did. Oh, I learned so many things. I was like, God, why didn't I just press in more before? Hallelujah. Funny how release starts with a R-E. Ready to release you. Our lease on life is but for a moment, but in eternity in heaven. Hallelujah. So he has given you this time to reset, stop everything. That's amazing. Many of you need to be writing your journals. I need to write a journal too. I'm not real good at journaling, but you know, it will be good to write everything that's happened. I know many books will be written. Many videos will be made. God's given us this time to refocus. Refocus on the most important things of life. I read this wonderful article. It's in my phone somewhere. That said that before, we didn't pay attention too much to our families because work took over. Working too late. By the time you come home, it's time for the kids to go to sleep. You've never taken this time to work in your garden, and all of a sudden, gardens are blooming and you're growing tomatoes and squash. And you never did some things that you do now that you did before. You just didn't have time to. So we're reevaluating what's important. What's important is your family, time with God. Everything else needs to take second seat to this. So what are you going to do with the valuable time that you gained? The time he gave you to reset, to refocus, to refresh. Some people are just so weary from working 9 to 5, 8 to 5, or some people worked 11, 12 hours. And you know, he gave you this time to refresh. What are you going to do with this valuable time to reevaluate your life's goals, reevaluate your spirituality, reevaluate what's most important to God for you in this time? He has a plan for our lives. We think we're going this way, but God is saying, come over here. Walk this way. And so, what is your choice from this moment on? You have a choice to make. When the doors are reopened again, everybody's healed, everything's back to normal, so to speak. You have choices to make. Are you going to keep pressing into God? Are you going to go back to your old habits? Many an alcoholic that have gone in Alcoholics Anonymous or Drugs Anonymous, whatever, they stay clean for a year or two. Little by little, they go right back into that mess because it wasn't deeply spiritually inbred in them. They couldn't overcome the flesh. And this is what God has given us an opportunity to get over the flesh and reevaluate some things. Start asking God every day of your life, what do you want me to do today? Even from the smallest things. I encourage you not to live life as usual before this virus. Don't live life as usual. Don't do that again. Ask yourself and write it down. What did I learn during this shelter in place? What did I learn? What did you learn? What did you learn? For one thing, a deeper trust in God. that you were taken care of financially when many are not, but the people of God are always taken care of. You even got raises when others didn't. You got a raise, you're not even working yet, and you got a raise. Hallelujah. We are blessed. Hallelujah. What did you learn? You learned that when the storms came and beat upon your house, that you were firm, solid on that rock. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's look at Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Verse 23 and 24. It says, "Search me or examine me, O God, and know my heart." You know that saying that I don't like? Oh, God, no, he knows my heart. He knows my heart. I don't like to be judged. He knows my heart. Judging is good. You judge yourself. Some people don't like to judge themselves. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my concerns." That's what the MEV Bible says. It means test me, try me, sift me. Sifting, you have to shake to sift. You know. You're sifting. Have God sift you. Have God test you, try you, and know my anxieties or my anxious heart, my concerns, all your concerns. This is the faith test in trusting God. Can God trust you? Can you trust God? Verse 24, "And see if there is any rebellious way in me." Another version says, "And see if there's any path of pain in me." See, the rebellious path is one of pain. And it says, "And lead me in the ancient way, or lead me in your glorious ways." This should be the prayer from here on. Every so often say, "Search me, examine me, know my heart. Test me, try me, sift me. Know my concerns. Lord, I'm anxious about this. Take this away. What do I have to do to feel your peace?" And he'll tell you what to do. "And see if there's any path of rebelliousness in you. Ask him to lead you the ancient ways, or the ways of God that never changes." Easy. The Ancient of Days. Glorious ways. Glorious, glorious, glorious. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, la ramando rebeke de rebianda la vashon de lelebianda. Oh, la rabakashan de lelebianda la bashta. Glory to your name, glory to your name, glory, glory, glory. Let's pray this prayer. Father, examine me. Search my heart. Test me. Sift me. Shake me up, Lord. Is there anything else you want me to get rid of in my life? You know what concerns me. But yet you say you perfect that which concerns me. God, make it perfect. If there's any rebellious way in me, judge me, Lord. If there's any rebellious way in me, if I've been walking the path of pain, trying to do my own way, causing pain on people, causing pain on myself, Lord, that rebuke that rebelliousness off of me, or I give it to you, Lord, and just take it away. Lead me in your ancient way, your glorious way. That's the only way I want. The way of the God, the rock of my salvation. Solid rock. the solid rock. And we'll stand no matter what. If another epidemic happens, you're still standing. I like that song. But by the grace of God, I'm still standing. Amen? The tide of the battle shall turn. If you're tired of being sick, do something about it. I love it how Pastor Robert this morning said, I got to take my vitamins. Very quickly, I thought about vitamins. And then I realized he's talking about the Word of God. He reads Psalm 23, Psalms 91, Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, I believe. Every morning, and even more so, he speaks over his body. Make it a practice. Those of you who have been battling sickness and pains and get tired of it, and just say, I don't receive it. I resist you now in the name of Jesus. And take your vitamin of the Word. It was told to me when I was diagnosed of cancer by Kenneth Copeland and Gloria Copeland. Take your vitamin, your prescription of the Word of God, the healing power of the Word, three times a day, all day if you can, three times a day. You speak those words over your body and you make your declaration. And throughout all the night, I had the healing scriptures all night. When Pastor Robert broke his knee, we had the Word of God all night. Oh, it was so beautiful. I recommend if you're anxious during this virus, go to sleep with a sermon. It's the most beautiful, sweet sleep. You hear the Word of God going on. Or the last thing that you do in the night before you retire, hear a good sermon. Watch something on Christian TV. Or there's many, many things on YouTube. Amen? I believe that's all what the Lord is wanting me to say today. It's so beautiful to see His anointing. It's so beautiful to feel His presence. And be excited about getting back in your fellowship. Oasis Fellowship, wherever you are, I don't know if you're shelter in place at home, wear your mask if you need to. Sit two seats away. Doesn't even have to be 6 feet. The more faith you have, the more daring that you are, because you know it can't touch you. Amen? But get together now. It's time that we stop fearing. Today I told, I guess it was Teresa, I know this thing is gone. I know this virus is gone. I know it. I feel it. I sense it. It's gone. It's the precautions that make you try to fear and try to get nervous. But it really is gone. It's gone. In the house of Goshen, there's light. Amen? Light of the gospel. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, dear Jesus.